You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Okay, get ready for a fast-paced look at some of the top films of 2020 with Mike Schaefer on film joining us now. The first of a two-part look at Mike's top 20 of 2020. Good morning.
Good morning, Wine Country Radio. It is I, Mike Schaefer.
Good to have you back. And I generally don't encourage listeners to, to be ready to take notes, but we're going to go quickly through a lot of really good films. And I don't know about I don't know about everybody, but I'm always in the market for something that was really captivate me, draw me in, deal with my short attention span, and entrance me. So let's go. Let's get into your top 20.
We have a lot to unpack, and you're right. We're going to do 20 through 11 today, and then we'll pick up again next week. Two things. Now, you had texted me a few days ago and asking if I had seen I Care a Lot, which dropped, I think it was Friday night on Netflix. It didn't make the final cut here, but I liked it a lot, Barry. It is a damn good yarn.
I was thinking of that when I was saying what I just said, that something that will draw me in, keep me intrigued, keep me guessing a little bit, caring about what's going to turn out in the story. And I sure did with that one. It was well done.
Yeah, it is the cinematic equivalent of a real page turner, and very, very good performances. Okay, so here we go. We'll just rank the movies, and then perhaps you and I will have a spirited discussion or debate where you question my lack of taste. And and let's just have some fun, folks.
All right, let's
out
go
there in wine country. All right, number 20 is Black Bear. Directed by Lawrence Michael Levine. I have reviewed this film previously, starring Aubrey Plaza. We will call this a cult film, or a cult film in the making. So that's Black Bear at number 20. Number 19 is a horror film recently dropped. It's on Hulu, or Epix. I'm sorry, it's on Epix. Saint Maud, directed by Rose Glass. And looking at this list, we have three female directors, so and more to come. So that's really, really great, starring an Irish actress by the name of Morfydd Clark. So that is Saint Maud, number 19. Number 18 is the social satire comedy about high school students who blow up for no apparent reason. That would be Spontaneous.
And you don't mean like blow up on social media. You mean actually blow up.
No, I mean literally blowing up.
Okay.
It's very, very funny, somewhat political, directed by Brian Duffield and starring a Catherine Langford. Very good movie. A rather controversial choice coming up at number 17. Barry, we have director Kitty Green's The Assistant, starring Julia Garner. And that has been described as the Me Too / Harvey Weinstein drama. But highly recommended, very powerful stuff there. Number 16, finally, a comedy, a more traditional comedy. Judd Apatow's The King of Staten Island, starring Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live.
Now, I have to say, I have heard nothing but good things about this film.
Yeah.
And yet I have a real, I don't know, I don't like him. I can't get past that.
I have heard this, and I am with you 100%. I think he is the divisive performer. I think people either, there's no gray area with Pete Davidson. So I'm walking into this thing with some trepidation. Right. Because I'm not sure about this guy. Right. Hot and cold, and usually pretty cold, but he scores. It's not performance art. It's actually he embeds a well-rounded, well-etched three-dimensional character and performances. And everyone around him, particularly Marissa Tomei and Bill Burr, I think prop him up as an actor. So there's gravitas there. So I really liked it.
I'm going to have to just, grit my teeth, I guess, and give it a try and try to get past. You can do that if you try hard enough. Now, before we go any further, those are five of the 10 for this week. Let's retrace our steps and tell me where each of these is available, starting with Black Bear.
Okay, Black Bear, every single movie is available on streaming, and you can find Black Bear on Amazon.
Okay.
St. Maud is on Epix. Spontaneous is also on Amazon Prime. The Assistant is on Hulu, and The King of Staten Island is on Amazon.
All right. Excellent. That's
right.
Critically important. Sometimes, you know, they say just talk into your remote. And like that doesn't always work.
Especially not at my house.
Yeah.
So where the remote refuses to acknowledge my voice.
I bet you wear out a remote every month.
Yeah. Yeah. It's infuriating to be a remote in the Mike Schaefer home. Or to be married to me, or just to know me, just to pass me in the street. So let's see. Yeah, I recommend The King of Staten Island, regardless of anyone's, and I get it, you know, perception, shall we say, of Pete Davidson. So moving on, mm-hmm. The rather touching drama, rather poignant, bittersweet. I guess we would call it the abortion drama, and I kind of hate to frame it like that, but that's kind of what the movie is. It's never, rarely, sometimes, always.
Sometimes, always.
Yeah, directed by Eliza Hittman, starring Sydney Flanagan in one of the best female performances of the year. A very tender drama, lots of gravitas there. Strongly recommended. Number 14, a film you might have heard of, actually. It's on Amazon. It's called The Sound of Metal, directed by Darius Marder and starring, and I got to tell you, Riz Ahmed and Paul Racy give two of the best male performances of 2020. And this is the one where the rock musician goes deaf.
Ah.
And struggles to cope with that. But it's a really terrific movie. So that is number 14.
Okay.
Moving on to Brian Dennehy's last performance in a film, sadly, before he passed away. It's a small drama called Driveways, directed by Andrew Ahn and also co-starring Hong Chow. So I would look for that. It's a very warm friendly movie, actually. Very sweet, though. It's a very, very tender-hearted film.
Mm-hmm.
Number 12 is the sci-fi drama The Vast of Night, directed by Andrew Peterson, starring Jake Horowitz, Sierra McCormick, two people you've never heard of, but are great. Their chemistry in the film is great. This is sort of the kind of a take on the War of the Worlds, in a manner of speaking. And so if you like that, if you like the genre, take a look at this. It's a fascinating film. It's almost a two-hander in a way, and would be interesting if it were adapted into a stage play. I think it could actually work like that, but it's very, very good film. I was very taken with it. And finally, we'll end on number 11. We'll pick up next week with Spike Lee's Vietnam film, The Five Bloods, starring a Delroy Lindo and one of the last performances of Chadwick Boseman.
Hmm. And give us now again where we can get these, starting with Never, Rarely, Sometime, Always.
Amazon, Sound of Metal, Amazon. Driveways is on Hulu. The Vast of Night is also on Amazon Prime. And The Five Bloods is on Netflix.
All right. Now, take note, these are not commercials. We don't get any benefit from mentioning where to find these films. But it's
I do, Barry. I made arrangements behind your back. All oh, right. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, we need to talk about The Vigorish. So out of all these 10 you've just listed in very quick order, which would you say would be the first one you would watch another time right now?
If I were to watch another one of these movies, like today, for example, a rewatch, I would probably go back and look at The Five Bloods again. I haven't seen it since, and it's been on my mind, and it's pretty much been on that. You know, I can actually literally say I've been waiting all year to do this, but it's kind of been in the top of movies since I saw it. It's definitely reaching out to me again. I recently saw an interview between Spike Lee and the director Oliver Stone, This is just like a few days ago. And they're both graduates of the NYU Film School. And that sort of like piqued my re-interest in rewatching it and watching Chadwick Boseman in one of his last acting performances, because he was already terminally ill when he was shooting that. And Spike had said, you know, if I had just known, mm-hmm. but he never complained. He never said anything about it. Only his inner circle knew that how sick he really was. I never would have asked him, you know, to cradle that machine gun and run across that field 20 times, you know, and exhaust the man. But consummate actor, great, great loss. And we will be talking next week about another Chadwick Boseman mm-hmm. performance. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, there's one thing I find would be hard to argue with. Spike Lee films, whether you love them or hate them, it'd be hard to argue with the idea that watching them a second or third time, you won't get something more from it.
Yeah, he packs a lot. And, you know, once again, I think he's been somewhat of a controversial character, shall we say. He's mm-hmm. a very talented provocateur, mm-hmm. if I may. Certainly knows how to manipulate the media, but he is a consummate filmmaker. And I think this is one of his strongest movies. And this is, you know, a very good year. And one thing I didn't point out or mention at the top was there are two movies that I really, really love, Barry, and they didn't make the cut, and they're similar, and they would be Hamilton and Spike Lee's American Utopia, which is the David Byrne Broadway musical.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
If I had extended the list to, say, 25, they'd make the cut, but mm-hmm. they would have asterisks next to them because they're not conventional films the way mm-hmm. these are. Mm-hmm. They are basically, and I don't mean this as a diss, they are still essentially recordings of Broadway shows.
Correct.
So that explains the asterisk.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation on a Facebook thread with someone on that topic about streaming theater content and so forth. And, you know, fundamentally to me, I don't really want to watch a play that's filmed on a stage. If you're going to make films is my approach to it. It's just not the same. Although in those two cases you cite, it's about as good as it gets for film stage play.
Yeah. I am an actor who has done some Zoom theater mm-hmm. this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to my vaccination and looking forward to being directed by you again, or Taylor, who also had the privilege of directing Mike
good
Schaefer.
Point, yes.
Looking forward to that, my friend.
So are we. Let me, what was the other question I was going to ask here about, your list. The Vast of Night, actually there's two movies here, Defy Bloods and Vast of Night, were both films that I heard a lot about, really wanted to see, fell asleep on. Now, I get up early in the morning and all that, but still, are these movies going to pay off for me if I stay with them?
I really hope so. In particular, since you mentioned The Vast of Night, you're a radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the male protagonist of the film is a radio guy.
Okay,
he's
well now
like
I
a 50s radio guy.
Now I know all I need to know.
And he's picking up these sounds. He and this young lady, teenage girl that he's befriended, who works for a telephone company in this small Texas town, Oklahoma town, actually shot in very low budget. But I think it's a very auspicious debut. Just the way that he uses the camera, what they can do with a low budget, it's somewhat reminiscent of early Coen films. I kept thinking of if Blood Simple, for example, were a sci-fi film or had, you know, just the premise of it begins to dawn on you as you're watching the film. And this is somewhat of a spoiler. Forgive me. But once I said science fiction, kind of the cat's out of the bag, that there is an impending alien invasion.
Yeah.
But you really focus on character and how the story is executed. I thought it was fantastic.
Right. Now, I have to ask you about and mention something that is not a film. It's a documentary, but it has to do with a very famous filmmaker and a famous actress. And you might get ahead of me here. I'm talking about the Allen versus Pharaoh documentary. The four-part series just started on HBO this past weekend.
Are you aware
of that? What do you know about it? Are you into it?
Very much aware of it. I haven't seen it yet. I will look at it. I have only, so far, what I've read are quotes from Woody Allen, who has, of course, come out in defense of himself, actually, and his position that the documentary is somewhat of a hit job. So I will wade into this knowing that. My take on Woody Allen and, you know, and this and my, on controversial filmmakers who have had shadiness, shall we say, in their personal life. I'm trying to be careful how I frame this, but, I certainly don't want to offend anyone. But Annie Hall, Manhattan, just the body of work. I'd love his movies. Would I ever hire him to be a babysitter? Probably not.
Yeah.
And the same is true for Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do that, but I love Chinatown, right? So I can appreciate, it's that old adage, right? It's like, trust the art and not the artist.
I tend to agree with that. There are a few people, I think, out there that have been so offensive that I don't really care to, you know, interact with them in any way, you know,
right,
through by watching their work. But still, in general, I do prefer to try and separate what someone has created from who they are.
Right.
Because if you don't, it's endless. You know, you can find something wrong with everyone. Clearly, not to the level of child abuse or sexual molestation.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when you go picking into people's lives, do as much as that as makes you happy, I guess. But
it's a personal thing. And ultimately, there's a line you don't cross. I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, O.J. Simpson murdered two people. And yet I'm going to watch The Towering Inferno every single time it's on. I'm not going to stop watching something because of something like that,
yeah.
You know, and we're definitely living in a climate of cancel culture right now. So I have my own personal issues with that.
Yeah, and if you take that to the extreme, you know, it's like you walk through the art museum and you say, oh, well, there's a Matisse, but he was a misogynist, so I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to walk, you know what I mean? You have to keep things in their context, and I'm sure there are some folks who would argue with us about that one, but we're going to leave it there for now, and look ahead to a week from today when we'll hear about the top 10 of Mike Schaefer's top 20 of 2020 here on Mike Schaefer on Film on Wine Country Live.
Looking forward to it, Barry.
Yeah, me too. Always fun. Thanks you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for the opportunity, Barry. See you next week.
You bet. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.